Awesome. Thank you, Abraham. Thanks, kids. Thanks, Martha. Wonderful. Thanks, Lucy. You're magnificent. Of course, the whole worship team, what a joy to be together and just receive the Father's love, love one another. And that's really what our corporate community about is really about. It's about receiving the love of the Father, and loving Him in return, and of course, loving one another. I want to share some things with you this morning that I really believe are going to thrill your heart. It's so simple, yet so important, and I think it gives us a worldview to understand each other in a little better way. Have you noticed that the world lacks understanding of each other? Have you noticed that even in our homes, in our families, in our cultures, in our nations, we lack understanding of each other, and sometimes we don't know how to accommodate each other, because we only see our world based on our worldview, our own experiences, or things of that nature. And it's something really, really important I learned a long time ago, and it's something I still believe very, very firmly. It's a biblical passage. It's something the Apostle Paul said. He said, "I only see in part." And you know, I really believe it's true that our lives can be healthy if we understand that we're not the know-it-all. If we see in part, if we're working through by viewing Jesus and what He's done, view our world through the lens of the finished work of Jesus. So I want to talk to you today. My subject, my title for this teaching is called Gifts to the World. I think they have a graphic of this thought or this theme, Gifts to the World. As He is, so are we. Gifts to the world. You know, the gospel, you hear it here all the time, the gospel is all about gift. The gospel really has nothing to do with your capacity. The gospel really has nothing to do with your obedience, per se. The gospel has really nothing to do with you being good enough or moral enough. The gospel is all about gift. And this is what's so astonishing and what's so frustrating at the same time about the gospel is we like the idea that the gospel is a gift, but we don't know how to extend this kind of worldview into our own hearts, so we don't really know how to receive the grace that's already been granted. We disqualify ourselves from the beauty of what Jesus has done because we still live with our trapped merit-based mindset. But really, the gospel is all about gift. Your standing before your Heavenly Father today has nothing to do with nothing except the gift of Jesus. And that's what's thrilling. That's what's beautiful. Paul the Apostle made a statement that I like. It's very powerful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." You know, speaking really of Jesus, and it was also speaking in reference to an offering. You know, we saw the precious kids and their offerings they take in Sunday school here at Mission City Church are utilized to sponsor one of the kids or the orphanage there in the Philippines. And it's beautiful. They're learning about nations. They're learning about missions. They're learning about generosity. But when you think of God sending Jesus as a gift, it's an indescribable gift. My human vocabulary, which isn't very extensive anyway, doesn't even know how to give adequate words to describe that the gospel is gift. But it's what's beautiful. It's what warms my heart. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. How do you calculate the value of a gift? How do you measure or describe this kind of gift, a gift that declares you righteous? How do you come to terms with your own understanding of you, not based on you, but based on a gift? It's something that should warm your heart with joy. This is really why we meet and worship and understand the beauty of the gift of what Jesus has done. The gift of Jesus changes the equation of your eternal standing before the Father. And for me, in my little worldview, that's beautiful. That's life-changing. That's thrilling. That gives me hope that actually gives me peace. It's really, really wonderful. So the gospel is all about gift. Jesus was a gift to the world. In fact, John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse, many of you know it by heart. This is what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that a gift was granted, that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes or receives the gift, Jesus, to him, there's life everlasting or everlasting life. There's no depreciation of you. There's no perishing in your life. There's something that's intact, that's sanctified, that's forever. It's eternal life. But it's all based on a gift. The gospel is all about gift. It's not about you being good enough ever, doing enough ever. It's all about believing and receiving the beauty of a gift. That's what changes us, is when we understand the gift of Jesus. Notice the next verse, John 3:17. This is one we don't know, but you should know this just as much as you know the previous verse. John 3:17 says, for God did not send the Son, the gift, into the world to condemn the world. You know, a gift has no condemnation attached to it. You know, if you give your wife or your husband or your friend a gift, you don't then give them the gift and tell them everything wrong with them. You don't say, here's a beautiful gift. This is a beautiful pair of earrings, Heidi, my wonderful wife. But let me tell you, you know, you're really a nuisance. And you're really this. And you're really... No, a gift has no condemnation attached to it. You have to understand your Father has no condemnation of you. It's beautiful. He didn't come to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. There's no condemnation attached to the gift. There's no judgment attached to the gift. It's a beautiful thing. So you've been gifted a position before the Father in Christ and because of Christ, which declares you righteous. You're declared righteous. You're righteous based on the gift. You're not righteous based on you ever. You're righteous based on the gift. Get comfortable with the gift speaking on your behalf. Get comfortable with your opinion of you based on the gift and not based on you. You'll learn to really enjoy yourself. You'll like yourself. In fact, you'll see yourself change. You'll see yourself rethink your world. You'll respond differently to people. You'll respond differently to things and circumstances, especially things that you don't understand or things you don't agree with, things that you have strong opinions about. The gift gives you the capacity to see things in a whole different way. So your acceptance of the gift declares that you are blameless, that you are holy before him, in love, of course. In love, of course. You are complete in him, and you're complete because of him. That's what the Bible teaches in Paul's writings, in his epistles, in the book of Colossians, in the book of Ephesians. So here's what we've learned thus far. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. All you have to do is believe it and receive it and say it's good enough. It takes faith to believe that. That's why you have to understand the beauty of the mystery of the gift of Jesus. And just as you learn of him and receive of him and walk of him, the mystery of Christ begins to be opened to the beauty of your understanding in your heart. And it's like your the veils off your mind are lifted and you see differently. You feel differently. You act differently. You respond differently. So God gave Jesus as a gift to you. But the New Testament also declares something, that Jesus gave you as a gift to God. Let me say that again. God gave Jesus as a gift to you. And Jesus, and through what he's done in embracing you, gives you as a gift to God. Have you ever thought about yourself in a way that gives you such value? Have you ever thought that you would be picked out to be granted as a gift to God Almighty? Jesus sees you with ultimate value, and he gives you as a gift. You know, when I buy my wife Heidi a present, which she probably wishes I would do more often, but when I buy my wife a present, you know, I want to give her something that I know she's going to like, that, you know, has a value. And sometimes it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but it just has a value to her heart. I want you to know that Jesus gives you as a gift to God. You have this kind of value in the heart of Jesus and this kind of value in the heart of the Father. Can you believe it? Do you think that you have that kind of significant value, that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, would value you and love you so extreme that He would choose you to be a gift to God? Actually, I learned this from Mark Lamparty. You know Mark, one of the brothers in the church, one of the ushers, and he did offering a few Sundays ago, and I was here. I wasn't traveling, and I was sitting, I don't know, midway in the auditorium here, and he was talking about in his offering that God gave, you know, Jesus as a gift to the world, but then he talked about Jesus' prayer in John 17, and he made a statement in part of his offering encouragement or teaching. He said, and Jesus gave us as a gift to God, and it stirred my spirit because I had this teaching in my heart for a long, long time. And I wanted to bring it forth, but this thing clarified something in terms of the wording and the phrasing and the rhythm that was beautiful to me. That God gave Jesus as a gift to us, but Jesus gave us as a gift to God. In fact, here's the text in John 17 when Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but those whom you have given me. In other words, they were gifted to Jesus, for they are yours. And now Jesus gifts them back to the Father. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. If you read this whole passage, it's really a beautiful passage in John 17, but it's the idea of Jesus praying before the Father, and he says, I've not lost any of what you've given me. I've given them all back to you. There was one, the son of perdition, you know, that had to do what he had to do. But I've given them all back to you. In other words, Jesus gives you as a gift to God. Your gifts to the world. As Jesus is, so are you. As Jesus was a gift to the world, you are a gift to this world. You are a gift to the world at large, but you're a gift more specifically to a gift where we're involved. You're a gift to your home, your family, your place of work, to this worship community, this local church, the body of Christ. We have to see ourselves as gifted. We have to see ourselves as valuable. We need to stop minimizing ourselves because of ourselves and see the beauty that Jesus was given to me, and that changes really my identity. I'm now gifted. I'm gifted. Conscious. My life has value. And it's not based on natural things or capacities or abilities. It's based on the life of Jesus. Because all of our natural capacities or values are very, very important, and they're all different. Have you noticed they're all different? I'll explain what I mean by that as we go on. So part of really the joy of living is in believing that Jesus was gifted to us. It's in believing that Jesus gifted us to God. This puts our hearts at a place of peace, and this positions our lives for a place of purpose, to love one another, to serve one another. And as far as I'm concerned, from what I can see in our world today, we need some gifted people who love one another, who serve one another in the midst of differences and different opinions and different worldviews and different understandings. You know, you don't have to have the chaos that we see in our world today to understand that we're all different. All you got to do is just look at your own little family, your own little relationship. People, we're different. I had a beautiful conversation with one of the sisters today here before church, you know, just about the challenges we have within families and in communities and even environments where people misunderstand each other. And we read each other wrong, and we build walls between each other, and we don't know how to give a sense of peace for camaraderie and validation and community and understanding and learn to grow with each other. It's very, very important in the body of Christ that we come to a place. Otherwise, there's so much strife and contention. And the early church was full of it, so it's nothing new. The early church was filled with it. And we're insecure at times, you know. And we have to understand that God gave Jesus as a gift to us. And if I can receive that gift in that abundance of grace daily in my life, I understand I am a gift back to the Father. In my life now, in my world, has heavenly value. That the life of Jesus in me is expressed in beautiful things can be done. It's beautiful. Part of this joy of living, you know, is to know that Jesus is a gift to us. And we're a gift to each other. We need to know that we can love one another. We can serve one another. Once we believe that God loves us, we can effectively love Him. And we're also equipped to love one another. You know, I've learned even in the recent decade of my life, since I've been learning very, very focused this last decade of my life, to be loved by the Father, I realize that I love God in a different way, in a deeper way, in a more peaceable way. And I found out I love Heidi, my wife, in a deeper way, in a stronger way, just by learning to be loved by God. You know, when you understand the beauty of the gift and you unwrap it, you understand your life is a gift and you understand everybody around you is a gift and you can learn to grow and receive the beauty of what God has in all of us. If we are a gift to God as we are, this means we can have a sense of significance. Wouldn't that be cool if every person in our community had a sense of significance? If every person had a sense of value, no matter what we did or what we said. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says. You heard a little interruption. That will come in full force in a little bit. That was like a, that was just to get your attention. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. See, the gift of Jesus in our lives changes us to such degrees that His life is expressed through us in a beautiful way where we share it, we connect, we minister one to another. It says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, you have to steward the grace of God. That's not something you just hide and preserve and go live isolated. It's a stewardship for expression. It's to extend this unmerited favor to everyone everywhere. And I'll tell you what, everybody needs it. And people are shocked when you extend it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle good news that's gift-based. But I tell you what, it's what every human heart needs. And it's important that we minister one to another the gifts God has given us. Some people have spiritual gifts, it seems like. It seems like they're so super spiritual. Some people have natural gifts. Some have a little of both. But all of our gifts are spiritual components that God's endowed us with, which are important. And I think the recent teaching Pastor Josh did here, you know, on spiritual gifts was so rich and real and great. And we need to incorporate these things and desire these gifts like Josh was teaching. But at the same time, don't minimize your natural gifts. Don't think of yourself lowly or insignificant because what you think doesn't have a great value. Let me explain what I mean. I've told you before, my dad is a bricklayer. He's masonry work. So one of these days, I hope to fly my dad out here to California. He doesn't like to fly anymore. He's in his mid-80s. But I've sent him some pictures, you know. I'm going to see him next month, and I'm going to take him some pictures of this great, beautiful Life Center cathedral, really. It's a mini cathedral to me. I love it, you know, because of the artistic craftsmen who did this. I was recently in the town I was born in. I had my boys with me, and we were driving down Main Street, this little town. Town has about 10,000 people, and I pointed out a building that my dad built. And I would show them all kinds of buildings. You know, this is 50, 60 years ago. And I stood in front of this place, and I said, I remember I helped build this building. My gift was involved. Now, I didn't lay the brick, but I mixed the mud, you know, the mortar. I carried the bricks. My labor, my sweat was immersed. And that building is still there today as a significant place in the center of Main Street. And it's still, to me, the most beautiful. My gift was utilized. You say, well, your gift wasn't very important. It was very important. Because my gift gifted the masonry people to do what they needed to do. And it's still speaking. The building is still a testimony. See, your life, what you do, is important. Whether it's parenting your kids, whether it's loving your grandkids, whether it's going through hard times in a marriage and choosing to let the gift anchor you and not your personalities anchor you. See, your decisions based on the gift are so important because it lasts generations. It lasts long, long times. I think of my gift. You know, I don't know always what my gift is. Sometimes my gift is a visionary. Sometimes my gift's planting facilities around the world like this one. You know, sometimes my gift is to speak or whatever. And people get frustrated if they don't have my gift. But listen, sometimes I wish I had your gift. You know, recently, Heidi tells me, she says, why did I marry you and you don't know how to fix nothing? Why are you so incompetent? She said, my dad could fix everything. Your dad could fix everything. You don't know how to use a screwdriver. You don't know how to use a hammer. I said, I can put a hammer through this wall right now if you keep talking. No, I don't do it. But the thing is, we all have different gifts. You know, recently in the Philippines, the well went out. So we got emails. Thank God for Martha, who works with the orphans there with Johnny and our team. And Martha kind of coordinates and knows, you know, thank God, Martha. She knows the culture. She's Filipino. She understands the beauty of what's needed. But we had a well that pump that went out. And so they said the orphans, you know, for several days weren't bathing, didn't have no running water in the campus. And, you know, if I was there all alone and they said, Keith, fix our problem, you know what I could do to help their problem? Nothing. If we stayed there 100 years, I could never get water out of the ground. But thank God there's people who know how to do that. And they're gifts. Their gifts. Now, they may not have visionary dreams like this. They may not speak the gospel like I speak, but they live the gospel with their life. They're a gift. I thank God for gifts. Thank God now the kids have water. It's beautiful. I think about all we just did a lot of work on the campus. We just put new AC units there in the whole Life Center campus there. These you know, units all through the facility, I think it seats 300. They jam people in there. It's amazing. But they've never had air conditioning. Thank God for people who know how to do that stuff. If they depended on my gift to get air, they'd never have it. Even till Jesus came, they'd never have it. There's no hope for them in my gift. Thank God for gifts of people. What you do is very, very important. Think about this. You know, we shared a couple weeks ago about all the kids got to go out and buy shoes. Thank God there's some people with some extra money in life. And with extra money, they say, hey, I can do this, I can do that, I can help here. And all these kids got to go out to a store, wow, in the city, wow, and pick out their own shoes. No hand-me-downs. Pick out brand new shoes and go out to a restaurant to eat, not just orphan food to eat. Wow, cool. Thank God for gifts of people who have some money and can do little things. Thank God for people that can interrupt your life and do something significant. You know, I think about this building. When I bought this building 3.5 years ago, I said, we're going to make it nice. I said, I want everybody who drives in the community to look at it and say, wow, there's something happening there. I wanted the chimes to go off. I want people to look and think, man, maybe God does exist. Maybe God can help me. So, you know, Ezekiel, who's done the gardening for Pastor Will for many, many years, does all the gardening here. I have a picture of him. I told him thank you today, or a couple days ago. I said, you're a gift. You keep the campus clean. You keep it beautiful. You keep it trimmed. You're a gift to our world. Don't minimize your gift. God gave Jesus as a gift to you, and your life has value, and Jesus gives you as a gift to your world, and he gives you as a gift to God. Don't minimize what you do. It's very, very significant. It's very, very important. You know, when I came in here a few years ago and was looking at the building, this is before we bought it, I saw the old organ up there, and you see it when you leave, always the lights flash up on it. And I said, we're going to have the organ to work. And people say, well, Keith, it's going to cost a lot of money. I said, I don't care. It's a gift. God is going to help us get the organ to work. I found a guy. You know, to find somebody who works on pipe organs, it's not like finding a car mechanic. It's hard. I found the guy who does all the organs in all the great cathedrals. I found the guy who did it down the Disney Theater, downtown L.A. He does USC and all. He came and he did the organ and was just completed this week. Let's listen to something on the organ. Yay, Lucy, huh? Now people say, are you ever going to use the organ? I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to the pastor of the church and Lucy, the music team. I don't know. But you know what? I can imagine weddings in here with an organ. And who knows, if Josh ever invites me to preach again, I might lead us an old hymn up here with the organ. Hallelujah. Why not? It's beautiful. Brother Neff plays the drums, Neftali. He said, wow, he heard it this morning as there were things. He says, I have somebody who was trained professionally on this. I said, cool, have the guy call me. Because I said, does he know old hymns and recent hymns? He said, yes, he knows it all. I said, have him call me. Because we're going to have somebody who knows how to play it. And when I preach, we're going to sing a song with it. Hallelujah. Yeah, why not? It's a gift. You know, the guy who fixed this was a young guy. The old guy was here, but the guy who did all the work was a young guy. God's training up young people to keep these historical things flowing and going. Josh told me some time ago that a lot of his generation really doesn't like all the flashing lights and the big, you know, hoopla and the smoke machines and everything in worship. They like something that's solemn and traditional and peaceful and worshipful. You know, God's got everything for everybody. And that's the beauty of the gift. It's not that you diminish anything in the process. You just find the place in the world where your gift works, where it works very, very well. I think of these stained glass. You know, you see a lot of the oxidation on the walls in the cathedral here. And I had to find a guy who does stained glass windows. Not easy to find. They got to tear all these. It takes him 40 hours to do, or 60 hours, something like that. Takes everything apart, re-leads everything. It's an art. This one is out now. It's all shut up here. But you know, it's because I'm having him all redone, and they, people say, well, he's a believer too, which is beautiful. He does it as part of his ministry expression. But I pay him. I pay him whatever his invoice is. I pay him. Why not? He's a gift. People's lives are worth their value. So don't diminish yourself, no matter what you do. You are significant. You are valuable. I think about the roof we just replaced in the Philippines. Thank God for roofers. You know, if I was there and the roof was leaking like a sieve, it'd never be fixed. I'm clueless. Thank God for the kids' camps. We just completed them a few days ago. I got new pictures of just scores and scores and scores of Middle Eastern kids, Syrian refugees that never have been to a camp, many Muslim. Thank God for people that like to work with kids. And that's why even in our little world, friends, it's important that we recognize and thank God for the people with gifts. I was talking this morning to Eno, just fellowshipping out here. I thank God for her and Lucy and different people, Mimi and others, who have food ready and coffee ready and clean up. Somebody does that. We need to be thankful that people are creating an environment for fellowship. It's important. It's a gift. Thank God for Lucy and the team and the musicians and the singers that come and give of their hearts and their lives. They're a gift to our world. I think of Daniel in the sound booth. Thank God for Daniel. Daniel, you're a champion to put up with a guy like me and Josh and Lucy, of all people, that need sound adjustments. But Daniel, you're a gift to the world. And you're a gift to this body because Jesus has gifted you. It's important we know that. Thank God for all the others, the ushers, the greeters, the people who give faithfully, whether it's two mites or they have a lot of money and can give a lot of money. Thank God for people who give and they're using their gift. It's a wonderful thing. So it goes on and on and on and on. Everybody is gifted. Everybody is valuable. Everybody is needed. All the nursery workers. Thank God for Cheryl Benedict, who organizes the workers in the nursery, and Raul and Michelle organizing the kids' ministry, and Mike and Estelle organizing youth ministry, and different things and events. Thank God for people. Thank God for gifts. Everybody is beautiful. Hey, I could write a song, everybody's beautiful. No, I won't. But everybody is beautiful. Everybody's gifted. You're a gift from God. And everybody's important to the whole expression of God's love and grace in the earth. Let me finish by sharing this passage real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks, you know, about the unity and diversity of the body of Christ. This is what he says beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, all of us, all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not many, or one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as He pleased. You know what helped me a lot in my life many years ago is just to learn to be comfortable with me. Just be comfortable. God set me in the body as He pleased. God gave me the gifts He gave me as it pleased. Sorry, Heidi, I'm not a fixer-upper. I can't do it all, but I can preach the gospel. I can have visions and dreams. So I've learned to just be comfortable with my gift. When you're comfortable with receiving the gift of Jesus, and you know Jesus gave you as a gift of God, you don't have to nitpick other people in the body that aren't as prominent as you, that seem to be not as important as you. In fact, this goes on to say that God chooses the things that seem to be unimportant as more important. In fact, let's read on. Verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Friend, I want you to know today that you're very necessary. Your presence is important. You're just making a decision to come to church when you don't feel like it is important. You sitting in the midst of other people and just breathing is important. You worshiping the Lord, saying hi, smiling, sharing, whether you're serving in some capacity, your life is important. And I think we need to understand our world needs us. Our world today needs us desperately. Let me tell you a little story, then I'm all done. If I can find about the little story I wanted to tell you. A couple of days ago, I was here working, and I ran into a guy in the alley, young kid, and you know, the alley separates the parking lot, and it's locked off 24/7, except one day when the trash man comes here to get the big dumpster. But he was sitting there kind of in a tree, and I went out there a few, had to get some things out of my car and bring them back to the office, and I kept watching him, and I was concerned a little bit about him because he'd been there for a long time. So one time when I was coming back to the car, I went over there and started talking to him. I said, hey, how you doing? My name's Keith. You doing okay? And he looked up at me, kind of like if I was there to scold him. And he just kind of nodded. I said, well, I'm glad you're here, friend. You're welcome anytime. I said, can I get you anything? He was eating some food, and so he said, no. I said, do you go to school anywhere? He said, no. He said, I graduated from high school. I said, you did? I said, that's fantastic. I said, do you go to college or anything? You looking for a job or anything? He says, no. I said, well, do you have any dreams? Is there anything you'd like to do? And he kind of looked at me like, what, are you a nut? You know, are you a... He didn't know how to take me. And I said, well, if you wanted to go to school, if you want to go down here to the college down the street, Mission College, I said, if you want to go to a trade school and learn a trade, He said, I said, I'll give you a scholarship. I said, I like to help people find their dream. And he looked at me, and a big smile came across his face, like, are you an angel? Are you, is this real? Can I believe in a gift? And I said, yeah, well, we help other people pay for courses and classes. I said, is there a trade that you would like ever? He said, I'd like to be a welder. I said, cool. I said, I'll help send you to welding school. I'll help get you, you know, equipped where you can learn the trade. And he just smiled. I said, okay, friend, listen, my name's Keith. I said, all you have to do, come around anytime. Let me know of your help. I said, I'll even help you. And I'll help you with a scholarship if you want to go to trade school and if you want to be a welder. And he just looked at me like he didn't know how to respond. You know, most people don't know how to respond to a gift. The gospel's all gift, friend. And you have to understand that your life is all gift to those around you. So let the gift of Jesus change you so Jesus shows up in your giftedness. Not your human frailty, not your judgments, not your flesh, not your anger, not the works of the flesh. Let Jesus show up through us. And let's find a way where we can help people. By the way, we do have what we call Mission City Scholarships to help people. You know, we don't pay for everything, but we help people do what we can. Get into programs. So if you're interested in Mission City Scholarships, Josh, of course, Janann, different people here. There's a little committee that are going to help. We're going to help people. We're going to help people's dreams come alive because that's what God wants us to do.